Bibles to our text today is Hebrews 1, 5 through 12. Actually, 5 through 14 is where we'll go today. Hebrews 1, 5 through 14. This is God's word. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Please be seated. And let's pray as we get into our preaching of the word here. Our God in heaven, what grace, free grace, you have lavished upon us, Lord, that we may read and understand and hear your word. Grant us the Spirit this morning. Help us to be in step with the Spirit this morning, Lord, as we worship you through your word. In Christ's name, amen. Gift shops, Hallmark movies, Reader's Digest stories, Christian bookstores, songs, Christmas trees, ornaments, It's a Wonderful Life. Angels are everywhere. They are possibly the most secularized spiritual thing in our society. If you search the web, you'll find an endless abundance of angel stories. It's like ghost stories, angel encounters. You are flooded with stories of people who have experienced angels, speaking to them or performing incredible acts. In the scriptures, they're quite popular too. Angels are everywhere in nearly every book of the Old Testament and mentioned throughout the Gospels and in Revelation and here in Hebrews. Only two or three of the several hundred angel statements are mentioned by name. Only two or three are actually named, which is significant to their purpose. You see, God uses angels to achieve divine communication, errand runners of sorts. They are considered like sons in the Hebrew sense to God in the text. They are celestial beings who perform tasks given to them under the command of God. We come upon a text like the opening of Luke, and we immediately become enamored by the angel encounter with Elizabeth and Mary. Angelic communication. And often, we become fascinated, overly fascinated, with the messenger, that we forget the message. Which and who is Christ? For the angels worship him, the writer of Hebrews says. They follow him. And Christ alone is superior to all heavenly beings. This is what the writer of Hebrews seeks to share here. He writes, the angels worship him For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. See, this text there was first spoken of David. The writer of Hebrews is really concerned with taking the archetypes, the ones who Christ is superior to and who are spoken of in the Old Testament. We have David here. We have this text cited in Romans and Acts and again here. It comes from 2 Samuel. It comes from Psalm 2. It's a very popular text. "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." We should know that this is a big deal, given it's mentioned so many times, that this passage is important. And while it was spoken of David, we read in Psalm 2:7, "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" We read it in 2 Samuel, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men." This text is really intended for Christ. We have to tie David to Christ as the fulfillment of the King of Israel, born in the flesh, in the direct line of David and the Davidic kings. You see, the Hebrews writer is setting the stage here for an even grander argument later on, where he focuses our eyes to Christ as the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, the ultimate king. So why does he bring angels here? In fact, it is the only epistle that really spends time talking about angels. Is he fascinated by the messengers? Not really. When he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and we go right back to Deuteronomy 32, "Rejoice with him, O heavens, bow down to him, all gods," which also means angels, "for he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land." Now, the writer of Hebrews is trying to correct a narrative that seems to have gone on for quite some time now. You see, the Jews have missed a lot. They've missed a lot about what the Old Testament was really talking about. They missed the yearnings and professing of the prophets, which all point to Christ, speak directly of Christ. They missed the words given about David, which speak directly to Christ as the Son. They missed the promises delivered to Abraham as a foreshadowing of what Christ's kingdom would be. And here, Jews, whom the writer of Hebrews is addressing across Roman Empire, here Jews have been fascinated by angels. They are like mediators, a go-between between God and his people. That's the way they've been viewed in the Old Testament. They must be important. So we have this mediator. Maybe we should worship these mediators, these angels. This happens today. I mean, there are as many Christmas carols about angels as there are about Christ. Bow down to him, all gods or angels, that text in Deuteronomy says. There is only one mediator, we know. There is only one message. And there is only one who is capable of installing that message in truth. Angels can only whisper about it, carry out minimal tasks directed and commanded by God. In the Gospel of Matthew, we learn more about how the angels worship Christ. You see, when Christ, here in this passage in Matthew 4, then Christ was led up to the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, an angel. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to them, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus is speaking to the fallen angel, one of the fallen angels, Satan, the one who is named as the fallen, the same tempter who sought to bring about sin in the Garden of Eden, where God was put to the test. It is a constant thing with him. And this passage in Matthew is given as a prelude to Jesus' work at the cross as both God and man. How, as man, he was able to deny the flesh, deny sin, when the very one tempting him is fallen, and becoming our very mediator, our true mediator, our only mediator, Christ would defy death, suffered in the flesh, and be resurrected, restored, claim his throne and dominion over all things. In doing so, he would destroy the power of sin. That power Satan sought to spread, it would be no more. It was obliterated at the cross, so that any who call upon the name of Christ, by his grace, through faith, professing faith, are no longer bound to sin, but to forgiveness and hope in the resurrection of the flesh. See, these are things that angels merely dream about. Satan certainly couldn't accomplish any of those things. He sought Christ to worship him. Well, he destroyed him. Angels merely dream about the kingdom of Christ. They do not inherit the kingdom like us. They worship God alongside us. They exist for the purpose of God's workings and worship Christ in heaven, celebrating his work alongside the saints in glory. This is true because we identify in Christ's death and resurrection when we come to faith, something that angels cannot do. There is no hope for the fallen angels. The writer of Hebrews continues on, speaking about how Christ is above all heavenly beings. In verse 8, "But of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And then he goes on talking about how you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. These are several powerful and beautiful passages from the Old Testament. You know, we have Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That speaks directly about Christ. You see, the writer of Hebrews doesn't just pull from like one book, one, you know, from the law. He grabs several across the entire, the prophets, the law, the kings, to show that all of that text is about Christ. If we read the Old Testament, all that text is about Christ. Who has God anointed then? Only Christ, his Son. When we begin to spread out that anointment, we lose the message. We lose the power of the message when we think there are others who are anointed. There are others who have been given the power to save. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That only refers to Christ. Like the temple priests, we may continue to look for more messengers, more divine spirits to convey our next step, giving us marching orders, showing us what we need to do. Communicate with us. We become overly fascinated with the messenger and forget the message, which is Christ. And if we spend time in the Old Testament, it's not surprising there are a lot of powerful moments in which angels are involved. If we look back at 1 Chronicles 21, we find this giant passage here where the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent the angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and he relented from the calamity. And he said to the angel who was working destruction, "It is enough. Now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over all of Jerusalem. David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who gave command to number the people? Is it I who have sinned and done great evil? It is I. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand, O Lord, my God, be against me, against my father's house. But do not let the plague be on your people." Now the angel of the Lord had commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at Gad's word, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. He turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out from the threshing floor and paid homage to David with his face to the ground. It's a powerful messenger sent by God to do God's work. As powerful as Christ? Well, the writer of Hebrews says, as he quotes Psalm 102 here, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they all will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Diverse ways angels and other means, to emphasize his power to not yet reveal the message in the way he did so in these last days. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying was the purpose of angels. Angels were, and Christ is, now and forever. There is no more fear for those who have faith in Christ. Fear of angels, fear of death, of destruction. We can truly say now, we have no fear. The Lord is with us. The Lord, the divine message, the one through which the foundations of all were created. Yet we should fear if we have not put our faith in Christ. We should fear death. We should fear hopelessness. We should fear destruction and judgment. We should fear angels. If we come to Christ, though, we find comfort. In the words he gives in passages like Matthew 25, 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Speaking to us. The passage is speaking directly to us, his church. So the honor of being God's true son only exists in Christ. Christ is not just another prophet, another priest, a mere angel or other celestial being, or another king. He is the divine message. He is the prophet, the priest, the king, who is worshipped by angels and is above all heavenly beings. So far too often we become fascinated with the messenger, and we forget the message, which is Christ. Beloved, may we seek the one true God in all that we do, in our worship, in our prayer, in our hopes, as our security in our salvation. May we find our comfort and complete satisfaction in the one who made the foundations of the world and who will call us one day into glory. May we seek our eternal rest in his divine message. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, before the foundation of the world, you called us to be amongst your kingdom. And Lord, you bore our sins as our mediator, giving us access to the throne of grace. Father, you joined us with you at the cross, and yet no death did we have. Only eternal life, hope, and glory. Father, you have consumed us with the Spirit. Your Spirit has consumed us in gifting us faith because of your claim upon us, Lord. May we worship you alone and not any other being. May we worship you alone and find our comfort and hope in you alone and not seek any other messages by any other messenger. May we know, Lord, that you crush the head of Satan, that death is gone, and that one day you will call us to glory with you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who are not with us this morning, may be with us in spirit, and that they are healing in their sicknesses by your mercy, Lord, that you are guiding them to your word and to prayer. I pray for those amongst us who are traveling now, that you will bring them back together to continue to build our church, Lord, in a good way. Father, may we seek as a congregation to do your will, to profess your name, and to be faithful as those representing the bride of Christ, Lord, declaring you alone as holy and worthy of worship and no other. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, let's rise and sing hymn 336 together. Come, thou almighty King. In mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Cheryl.